What is up, everybody, and welcome to Warp Point Weekly, your source for nerdy news. I'm Rob, and as always, I'm joined by my gracious co-host. We got Bren.
What up?
And we got Jay.
What up?
With that deep, low, sexy voice.
That deep, low voice. This voice just got 14 women pregnant on it alone.
So, we are a nerdy news podcast, whatever cast you want to call it. And yeah, we just bring information on video games and pop culture, movie stuff. And
rants that start at one subject and we derail it and end off like five subjects away.
Bro, it's the best rails, train wreck you can watch.
The rails are a guideline. They're not meant to be.
They're just a recommendation.
Yeah, they're all just recommendations. Yeah.
It's like stop signs.
So, Brent, you want to talk about what we're talking about?
Sure. Today we will be going over we have some Disney news with two actresses in lost what word I was gonna say there. Anyways, we're just gonna move on. We have some news with Idris Elba, Hideo Kojima, Dr. Disrespect as well. We got some Pokemon news and the Elden Ring Steam page is live.
Yes.
See, and that's great for us on PC, but you know, you console peasants.
Console peasants, please.
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 What frames
you
get? What's your frames?
60 most of the time.
Yeah, I get 120. Aww,
that's cute.
Aww, how adorable.
That's cute. Yeah. Whenever I was playing New World, I had 5,000.
And then your GPU blew up.
Right.
I was just going to say, yeah, have your unlimited frames. At least my console still runs.
So,
which runs good, I hope, with the SSD swap.
Yeah, if you guys haven't checked that out, a video on our YouTube of us testing the temperatures and installing the beta software, which we still don't have any news on when that's going to go live.
I'm telling you, it's going to be like everything else. It's going to stay at a beta.
Shadow drop.
Yeah.
And it's just going to roll straight through.
It's going to be like a switch. They flick it and they're like, what are you talking about? This was on the entire time.
Yeah. I'll know because every time I turn on my PS5,
it says beta.
It says, yes, this is a beta software for the PS5. And it won't say it anymore.
Yeah, we actually have that captured in the video as well.
So yeah, go check it out, guys.
Link in the description for our YouTube. And maybe I'll put a card up for it too, like down in one of these corners or something.
Put this on YouTube with a little boop icon that pops up.
Yeah, right.
The link for the video.
What does that say? Check the card in the corner.
Yeah, exactly. Check us out. Check the card. So before we get into the news and stuff, we have to do our time-honored tradition because you can't fucks with tradition.
Can't fucks with tradition.
No.
So, Bren, what have you been up to, bud?
I've been busy this weekend. The studio is coming together.
Oh, ooh. I can't wait.
All walls are up, drywall's hung, and about a little over half of the drywall finishing is done.
Nice.
So I'll be finishing that up for the rest of the day, hopefully sand, and be ready to paint in a day or two.
Nice. Woo! Love seeing a plan come together.
Right.
Buying things other than the SSD that we used in the video.
Did you have the leads in whenever we were playing Dauntless?
Yes, but I didn't bother running it because I didn't have time to move it from the external drive over to that SSD.
Hmm. Fair. I was curious for you know,
temps. Oh, I'm going to because I've been doing it with Control. I'm going to try it with Cyberpunk, given how big the world is. I want to see.
Yeah.
Of course, it's not even, it hasn't even been patched to implement all the next gen stuff.
Yeah, we don't know when it's going to either.
And yeah, CDPR has been pretty quiet about it so far.
I mean, like, they've been pretty quiet, period.
We need to fix our shit before we do anything else.
They're like, what new IP called Cyberpunk? Have you seen The Witcher?
The Witcher's great.
More Witcher news. We got Witcher Fest.
I've been playing Control for the last several days. The PS5 version. I don't like when you know, it has the option fidelity or gameplay. When you do fidelity, it locks you behind that 30 and you can tell. Although it looks good, you can still see the 30 frames.
Well, once you move 30 up,
frames? I haven't been there in a long time.
Yeah, I was about to say, I watch my buddies play Warzone from time to time. And like, I'll be actually sitting in their house watching it on their TV. And I'm like, dude, this is so slow because you don't have the frame advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my buddies, he might be a controller person, but he's working towards getting a PC. Just everything has to level out so he can actually buy a pre-built.
Yeah.
Which, you know, everybody says it's the best way to go when you learn your shit.
So talking about that, like, I was looking for no other reason other than I was watching YouTube videos and seeing Jay's Two Cents talking about it. Dude, Micro Center has a bunch of pre-builts that aren't that expensive.
Mm-hmm. That's like, the one he I wouldn't say shill, but he's sponsored by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's one in Cleveland is like the closest to us. And I was looking and they have a 3060 pre-built for like $1,200.
That's not bad. With you know, what's the other parts though is my question.
So
I assume they probably don't skimp out and at least give you two sticks of fucking RAM.
Oh yeah, it was 16 gigabytes of RAM, 1 terabyte SSD, 500 gig NVMe 2. The thing that got me was it was an i5 build, and I'm not an Intel guy.
No. Yeah, I've never been an Intel person. I mean, even before AMD went Ryzen and really started, like when AMD was still trailing behind Intel, I still preferred AMDs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's price per dollar.
But, you know, the PC that you described for $1,200 sounds it has a lot of the same performance as my PS5.
Yeah, that's where you're wrong.
Only the 3060 is a superior graphics card that can achieve 100 frames per second with no problem.
Yeah, so can the PS5 if Sony unlocks it.
Well, you know, how quick did they unlock that M.2 slot?
Technically, it's not unlocked.
Yeah. How long did it take them to make a beta for the M.2 slot?
Yeah.
Just saying.
How long did it take them to be able to use a M.2?
And how many deers have you seen in your life to get that PS5?
Oh, dear. Actually, that was Rob that stared at the deers.
Together online during stream. Oh,
fuck, we gotta stop the show, guys.
We're live buying a PS5 right now.
We're trying to.
We should clip that shit out. Make a video out of it.
So, Jay, what about you? What have you been up to?
Well, besides muting my mic to cough. So, I've been doing Dauntless with you guys on Wednesdays. You know, getting into the grind, all that. Borderlands 3, mainly for my FPS. Game of choice, you know, haven't played Call of Duty's fucking forever, honestly. Can't even lawsuit and everything aside, I don't even think I really want to play it anymore. I'm more excited for Battlefield.
Right. Oh yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Really, the only thing I miss is zombies. That's it.
Yeah. Hades for the Switch, which is awesome because Xbox just got it and they put it on Game Pass.
Yeah.
And I think it has cross progression.
Oh nice.
So I can actually swap between the versions, like jump on PC, do something on that, and play on my Switch. But either way, I mean, I'd rather honestly play it on the Switch. It's top-down, easy game to play. Watching, still trying to work through Banshee, still trying to work through Sopranos. Busy at work, so I haven't been able to do anything at work.
Yeah.
That's why we don't have thumbnails right now. But other than that, yeah, it's just been busy and hectic, and I'm so grateful this week's going to be over and ready for the next week.
Right.
So what about you, Rob? What have you been doing?
So I've been making some PC upgrades. I got new RAM in, and it's beautiful.
You ramming?
I'm ramming. I got some got some of that G-Skill Trident Z Neo.
Nice. What's the speed on it?
3600.
Nice.
32 gigs of DDR4 3600. I ordered the custom cables for the 3060. I bought a power supply to pump to the 3060.
Yeah, because you're going to need that at least, what, 650 wattage?
So this card actually recommends 750, and I only had a 650, so I went with an 850, which I actually have right here.
Oh, yeah, that means you can put more lights in it.
It's that gold rating.
Ooh. I'm so excited for you.
And I had to flash the BIOS on the motherboard, which was nerve-wracking. I mean, I know that it's not common that something goes wrong, but with my luck, I was fully expecting for something to go wrong.
I mean, me and you both have had random blue screens for no fucking reason.
Yeah. I ordered a bracket for the 3060 because I got the 3-fan card, you know, so it's a foot long, literally.
He a big boy.
He's a big one.
He did.
So I got the... Got the support bracket so it doesn't sag. Let's see. I've been playing Dauntless with you guys. I've been watching a ton of videos on different builds for Dauntless characters.
No, but here we go. Now Rob's going to be micromanaging the whole fucking hunt.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
I don't believe you.
Just if you guys log in and I'm like OP, I'm sorry. I actually really enjoy that game. Like, it's just fun as shit to me.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially with, you know, a group of people. It's just, so fun.
Yeah.
And we can start bringing people in and do, like, hunts with our audience.
Yeah, I mean, we could have four people in our party, and we already got three, so we'll have to swap out.
Yeah, do, like, two or three hunts and then swap out.
Yeah. Although, I tell you what, I am... still ecstatic with the Dauntless community. You know, we've had a lot of good people come in, chat with us, give us tips and tricks, and some people have played with us. Watching wise, I haven't really watched anything. I wanted to start watching the new Suicide Squad, but I haven't had a chance to yet.
Yeah. Oh, I bought that new Nobody movie.
Yeah, you were saying that.
But we haven't watched it yet. I'm hoping it's really good.
Nice.
I just hope he doesn't turn into like a full Wish version of John Wick.
Right?
But can I say that like the memes that have been coming from Suicide Squad are amazing?
Right.
Like Starro and Misty. It has the black dude, the pimp sitting there with his hands like this, and he's got the misty haircut and the Pokeball. Oh my, yes.
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, it's great. I'll tag you in it here after we do the show.
I like the Finding Nemo sharks and Captain Shark or whatever his name is.
Fish are friends, not food.
Yeah, I think other than that, I haven't been doing too much. Just messing around with YouTube stuff, researching Dauntless and playing Dauntless.
So there it is. There's him admitting that he's been playing it. Earlier he was like, you know, don't be surprised if I'm like super OP.
Yeah. In all honesty, I've only played like half an hour, 45 minutes since we've played, but... Mm. That I've been watching all kinds of videos and I know.
Yeah, we shouldn't really give him shit, Brent, because me and you were like way higher level than he is. Like he had a fresh character, right? Meanwhile, me and you were like, yeah, we played it a couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now the roles have reversed.
Wahaha.
So with that there, let's jump into the news. Up first is a little bit of something that we talked about last week. And it's frankly funny how quickly things turn around.
Oh, dude, karma.
So Disney has cut all ties and projects with ScarJo.
They literally threw that bitch off a cliff like Endgame.
Oh, my God. Jay, you tears, need to make though. That meme. Put Mickey Mouse's head on Thanos and put ScarJo's face on Gamora.
No, I'm just going to put Disney's face over Hawkeye as he's like, let me go. Just let me go. Man, I wish I had editing skills like that, because I would take that whole scene and put Mickey Mouse's head on the on Hawkeye and let it go. Right.
So there's projects that they publicly announced, like Tower of Terror, that ScarJo was signed for, and that's might be out of the question. It'll be interesting to see if they recast it or if they just, I don't know, sweep it under the rug.
Like Walt's Nazism.
Yeah, right. But yeah, she was actually a producer on Black Widow. So yeah, I mean, she I don't know how much money she actually lost on this, but yeah, she kind of fucked herself.
I mean, obviously we have to wait till the actual case, because then all the information will come out, the contract will come out, because everything's under NDA. They can't talk about it. She can only say that they had a bonus like issue with, you know, how it's supposed to do well and all
performance
that.
Incentive.
Yeah, performance incentive, which I get, you know, as somebody who gets paid with performance and incentives,
right,
or upsells, you know, you have to be able to do it though. I mean, and yeah, the switching to Disney Plus and theaters, but at the same time, people are leaving their houses now. You know, you have a set percentage of the population that are like, I just want to live life. So they're going to go to the movie theater, or they're going to watch it on fucking Disney Plus. The money's still there. You actually have multiple sources coming in.
I mean, we can have that very divided argument on that with the Delta variant and everything.
I'm not talking about it itself. This ain't a
I know. Brand. But
it's just more of like there is people trying to get around and do things. That was the whole point of the vaccine. So,
yeah, but you know, with the way they're trying to push the scares and everything, people are going back to not wanting to leave.
Yeah.
Well. And here's the thing, they're saying that ScarJo talked to Disney before the movie's release and tried to renegotiate her contract, and supposedly Disney ignored her. Now, that contradicts what we've read before, that Disney offered her something and she said no, that wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been she talked to them, they gave her a counter offer, and then she said that wasn't good enough, because that could have been it. And, you know, she is a big time moneymaker for Disney on the Marvel side.
Well, according to the article that we read earlier, you know, they go on to say Disney ignored Scarlet. You know, Black Widow was released, and while it did well for a hybrid release, it didn't do as well at the box office as the actress would have expected pre-pandemic when she signed her contract.
She signed her contract like way back in like
2015?
Age of Ultron. Yeah.
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 But I think it was Age of Ultron when they finalized her deal.
What
Avengers movie came out?
So I mean, the question is going to be, who approached who once the pandemic hit?
Yeah.
Ultron did she approach them about renegotiating her contract, or did they approach her about renegotiating the contract for it?
Well,
we don't know, and we're not going to know.
And the thing with that, though, even then is, you know, was this right before the movie's release, whenever, you know, they were like, oh, well, you know. And that's the thing, like it would be interesting to find out, because at one point in time, you couldn't go to a movie theater. I mean, look at Mulan. Mulan opened strictly on Disney Plus Ultra or whatever the hell it's called.
Premier Access, yeah.
And look at how bad that did, rightfully so.
The Chinese release was just called R Mulan. they didn't have a dollar amount on it. It was just R Mulan.
So yeah, it'll be interesting to if we can find out any details on, you know, if it was like, you know, the pandemic's going on, they're obviously got movies that are coming out. So do you renegotiate your contract then? Do you, you know, it I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, we are going to have to wait for the hearing to go through or whatever.
We need at least the actual like paperwork for a lawsuit. I'm surprised we haven't seen a doc that's had, you know, all the filings and complaints.
Right. It'll be interesting coming forward with that.
Because that's the thing with these. I mean, you have both sides giving contradicting stories.
Then you're going to.
That's how everything works. Watch politics.
I don't know if we can say contradicting stories, but yeah, kind of, yeah.
I mean, it is contradicting if Disney's like, we offered something, and she's like, no, you fuck, you didn't.
Yeah.
So.
But keeping on that front, and something that we talked about last week, if you haven't listened to or watched that, go back and watch it. You know, we talk about this, I don't want to say extensively, but in a decent amount. So apparently Cruella 2 with Emma Stone is a go, and therefore Emma Stone is not going to follow the ScarJo route like we talked about earlier.
Here's the thing. Did Emma Stone herself come out and say that, or is it just speculation? Because they were the articles out. Were that she was kicking around the idea.
Yeah. If somebody wants to talk about this, I will look that up.
All right, I'll go ahead and pull it up real quick. So yeah, she's gonna be the villain again in Cruella. I'll be honest, no interest in watching it. Yeah, and I like the 101 Dalmatians, including the live action versions. But so let's see.
Oh, that was actually 2 weeks ago that we talked about that, not last week.
Oh, was it?
Same difference. There's really not much to it. Is it like going to be she actually starts fucking with the Dalmatians and attacking them? Yeah, they just said that she's doing it again. They don't have really much details on it, except for the fact that she is going to do it. Her new deal follows a, they say successful deal on theaters and Disney Premier Access.
So, the story was just that an insider suggested Emma Stone is playing a waiting game to figure out if she wants to go the same route or not.
Yeah. And knowing people these days, she could have read the
she sat there was like, oh, what's this bitch gets fired? She gets fired, then I ain't in it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I am not losing my livelihood over that.
Yeah, the story probably broke with ScarJo, and she's like, I wonder if I can do the same thing.
I'm good.
I wonder if I can get away with doing the same thing. And then someone's like, oh shit, she's contemplating it. Hurry up, put that shit out there.
And then ScarJo's like, gone. And then she's like, I'm good.
All right, hold on.
I'm good.
Hold on, let's see this. I'm pulling up something. Worth 2021. Oh, here's why Emma Stone didn't do that. Emma Stone, according to Wealthy Gorilla, is worth $30 million on this Google search I did. Scarlett Johansson on the Google search I did. Net worth of 2021 for both of them. $165 million.
Yeah.
That's why Emma Stone didn't do it. She ain't worth the Scarlett Johansson money.
Right?
So, yeah, but could you imagine what Emma Stone would be like if she did that many Woody Allen movies?
Yeah, right. So moving forward with movie news, it is not 100% confirmed, but it's all but
that
Idris Elba is going to be playing Knuckles in the Sonic movie sequel. Sonic 2 is set to release April 22nd, and on this past Tuesday, the Suicide Squad and Pacific Rim star, I forgot he was in Pacific Rim, published an image of Knuckles trademarks gloves on social media.
Oh, I love it. Because like this is the first little bit of Knuckles we got. And yes, obviously the first Sonic design was pretty horrible. So I think they're going to stick more to the source material for this one.
Yeah.
And the gloves, the amount of detail they have, like the cracks in them, the lining.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that the knuckle is actually a part of the glove versus like sticking out of the glove.
Right.
I can dig it. I don't know. When it came to Knuckles, Sonic's voice fits. It's childlike. It's... Ildris going to be too gruff for it?
I don't know. I don't think.
I think it could work.
I do too.
That's where I'm going. But how funny would this be, guys? They release a whole trailer where Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles all have the original Sonic design. And they drop that trailer. That's all they have for footage like that, is that trailer that they use to troll everybody.
I'd love it. I'd love it.
Jay Silent.
I'm excited for Tails, man. Tails already looked adorable shit.
I'm excited for Knuckles. I really am. Yeah.
But that ending, though, end scene of, I gotta find Sonic. And I'm like, yeah, you do. And I'm sitting here thinking, is there going to be scenes where he like grabs onto Sonic and they float away, like right, in the game? Like, I don't know. There was a lot of Easter eggs as someone who's a big Sonic fan and grew up on. I mean, my first words were Sega because of Sonic.
Sega. I could just see little Jake. Sega.
No, it was like Sesa. But I knew what I was saying, and that's close enough. Because like when you turn on the original, there was a Sega like singing, and that's what I was trying to emulate.
Yeah, it was a white screen with a blue Sega logo, and then Sonic would come running across the screen.
Yep.
Yeah. I've played hours.
Sega.
Hey, look, Nintendo had somewhat better games, like their mascots were better, but Sega had the better music. No doubt about it. Like, they had way more instruments in their music versus how Nintendo did theirs.
Well, I mean, Sega, the Genesis was the first, 16-bit, right?
Yeah.
Everything else was 8-bit.
Well, it was going up against the Super Nintendo.
Was the Super Nintendo 16 or 8-bit?
16.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
It was NES was 8-bit, and then it jumped to 16, then jumped to 64.
All right. Mm-mm. So moving on from movies into the gaming world a little bit.
Well, technically we went from gaming movie now to the gaming world.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Sonic was the transition from the movie world into the...
Yeah, that slow transition.
You guys didn't even know it was coming.
So Hideo Kojima says he's worried about a future without physical media.
And so am I.
The Metal Gear Solid and Death Stranding director says that without physical media, where did he say it? I can't remember. Anyways, CDs will soon be gone. And when I think about it, I still buy them, even though I have them in bulk, Kojima wrote. Eventually, digital data will no longer be owned by individuals on their own initiative. Whether there's a major change or accident in the world, in a country, in a government, in an idea, in a trend, across access to it may suddenly be cut off.
Is Hideo Kojima based?
We will not be able to freely access the movies, books, and music that we have loved.
Yeah, he's based.
And I said this a while ago. Actually, I said this a couple of years ago when we first started talking about Stadia. Even when you buy PlayStation games on their online store,
yeah,
there's always that little bit in the sales agreement that they have the right to revoke it.
Yeah,
revoke your access to it
if you like mess with the code or something. They can revoke it, and that's one of the things that gets a game taken away, I guess, is if you actually manipulate code.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know that just play the game, don't mess with the code if you want to keep your access to it. Yeah, I get that, but
Skyrim gotta have titties, I'm just saying.
I am 1,000% behind Hideo on this.
Well, even Limited Run came out, and you know, they said that At some point, all digital storefronts will cease to exist, replaced by newer technology or storefronts. Digital purchases are not forever.
Yeah. Well, all it's going to take is like a bunch of people getting their licenses revoked on certain games. Like, let's say Battlefield comes out, and then for some reason, because EA's keeps getting hacked and keeps getting attacked, and their servers keep getting fucked over by on the Titanfall side. Right. Now Apex actually. Now Apex is getting hit with these DDoS attacks.
Right.
But, like, what happens if they are able to figure out how to take away licenses?
Yeah.
And then they get hit, and then everybody loses their ability to play a game, and the company's just like, "Well, we buy it, bro."
Well, we'll see.
That just happened the other day. EU players for Final Fantasy 14, the EU data servers were hit by a DDoS attack.
Mm.
No one in Europe could log in.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about logging in. I'm talking about not having access to the game, period.
Well, see, the problem with that, though, even then, is like with even PlayStation physical media, a lot of times you need to have access to the internet so that it can verify your key.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's just a glorified key at this point on disk.
Yeah. You know, that's the only reason that you need the disk. So it's a fucked up like situation, really, because me personally, I do like digital for most things, but I like having, you know, my collector's editions physically, obviously.
So I have like a more nuanced stance on this whole thing. So we know where Bryn lies now. We know where you lie. Mine is, some of the fact that things are going digital is a good thing, because it's less e-waste. It's less, you know, bullshit cluttering shelves and hoarding, and you know, it's just going to get thrown out and be put in a landfill eventually over time. But there is the fact that you technically don't own a physical copy of the game. You do not own something, right, if you do not have it in your hand. So it's really, really tough.
Yeah.
Because
even look at, they lost the original code for Final Fantasy VIII.
Yeah.
They lost the original code for Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
The PC had to be rebuilt.
They had to go in and reverse engineer it.
Mm-hmm. That's why, like, everybody PC or uses the PC port when they're, even the PS4 or PS5 version of Final Fantasy VII Classic, right, is
and PC port. And we talked about that, you know, when we were talking about the Vita store getting closed down, PS3 Vita and everything. I mean, not only do you have that aspect of it, but, you know, how many times have we bought used games?
Yeah.
You know,
there is a market for it, and that's what keeps used game mom and pop shops open.
Well, not only that, yeah. I mean, you know, it's, and I'm not talking about, you know, the roster updates for the next year, but, you know, the fact that you can go in and buy, not even a collector's edition, but buy a harder to find game is awesome. So, like I said, in many aspects, I'm really on the fence for it.
I mean, what's happened in this, the world's changing, and a lot of people are starting to adapt and not even think about it anymore. Nobody thinks about the physical copies. Nobody thinks about, because, like, I want to start buying DVDs and collector's editions and shit. I don't have a DVD player that's not a PlayStation. Or Blu-ray, I should say. You know,
right?
We're not doing DVDs anymore.
No, hell no.
And I mean, there's a lot of people in the industry, including Frontier founder David Braben, that thinks that, you know, in 2 to 3 years' time, physical will more or less be gone. So, yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see where exactly this goes.
Yeah.
And I'm sure this is why we're seeing more collector's edition releases. They're trying to incentivize keeping physical media.
Right.
Because if you look back like 5 years, collector's editions, I mean, they were on consoles, but they were mainly like a PC thing.
Right.
I mean, the earliest one that I can remember is the Diablo 2 War Chest.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing a bunch of those in like, we had like here in Pittsburgh, Jay, we have the Exchange. That's pretty much like the only used game store. it's become like a mini chain over here in Pennsylvania.
There's
Western Pennsylvania and some parts of I think Ohio has a couple too.
Well, if they want to bring one to Indiana, I'll manage it.
We actually have some other ones too, but they're just not as well known. But I've been to them. Well, I mean, look at
Warp Zone. Warp Zone's one of my favorite. It is very small. It's the size of a car and a half garage.
Yeah.
And it's pretty deep. Very knowledgeable people, and just really.
And there's another one. I think, what is it? Is Cash and Culture that they.
I've heard. I didn't even know they were still going.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a couple of them still around. And they got a lot of like collectible stuff and like actual like movie prop stuff.
Oh, nice.
But moving on.
Last time I saw one of those was Century 3 Mall was still open.
Yeah, there's one out in Greensburg.
You guys have malls that are open?
we have a couple left.
Not many.
We only have the one mall, and it's piss poor. Rob drove by it and probably didn't even know it was a fucking mall.
Wait, you got a mall? When the fuck did we get a mall?
It's called the Richmond Square Mall, and it's not shaped like a square.
Go figure.
Disappointing. Yeah. It's literally like a long stretch hallway where all these shops are. And there's like a couple like bigger shops on each side of it. But it's basically just big store, big store, big store, big store. Little stores in the middle and a cross section where you walk through.
Yeah.
Single floor.
Yeah.
All right. This next story is a man that we still don't know why he was banned from Twitch, but Dr. Disrespect is starting a game development studio.
Hold on. You didn't do it right.
In quotations.
You got to do
a twist. Doctor. Dis. Respect.
That's how you got to do
it. Jesus Christ.
God.
Got to do the echo. You got to do the echo.
No.
The two-time 93-94 Blockbuster champion.
Oh, my God. I heard about that, and I heard people are annoyed he still rides that train.
I don't think he ever actually was like a Blockbuster international. I don't even think Blockbuster had an international gaming championship, but it's the the pro level.
So Guy Beam has revealed plans to start his own development studio. Dr. Disrespect, in partnership with Boom TV, is taking on the game industry by storm and incubating a new AAA gaming studio that has a unique twist to it. And this is by a job advert on his website.
Well, here's the thing, too.
What are you guys thinking? Because they're saying
I am hyped. Because I've watched bits and pieces of Dr. Disrespect streams where he's talked about game design. He knows what he's talking about because he used to do maps for Call of Duty. He started on, Justin TV as a streamer, doing the Halo things, was, trash talking and all that. Then he started, when Call of Duty came out, he started doing Call of Duty, and he ended up, I can't remember what game that he did.
So, is he one of the original teabaggers?
Yes.
From Halo?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's funny.
There's still people with DD nut stamps on their forehead from Dr. Disrespect in the early Halo days.
Oh my God. So what do you think about this? They're talking partnerships with mega influencers.
I don't think this is going to go anywhere, to be honest. I really don't. This is not going to be anything because, the job advert on his website, it says that he's looking for a studio head and a co-founder.
Mm-hmm.
The successful candidate will be offered promising competitive salary and a significant equity stake. And they will be charged with spearheading design, art, core gaming loops, meta, virtual and retentional loops, and iterate monetization, go-to-market, integrate esports, and influencing marketing.
Yeah.
So he just wants to have his name on it, but have someone else spearhead everything else.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I mean, it could be that. It could be, you know, him with a different type of approach to it. Who knows?
But either way, I don't think it's going to get off the ground. I really don't. You know, he wants to plan, you know, forge a partnership with select list of mega influencers and then work closely with them to launch their dream gaming title.
Yeah, but you got to realize Dr. Disrespect is an influencer.
I understand.
He's not like us. We're small time, you know, small fish in the pond. Him getting banned was big news. He's still pulling like more than he was pulling on Twitch. And I think he had only had like 1 million to 1.5 million people on YouTube before he even got banned from Twitch. And then it jumped to 3.44 million subscribers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I still don't think he's going to go anywhere with this. I really don't.
I mean, like it could be
because completely. You know, well, he wants to bring other streamers' games to life.
Yeah. Well, like here's my thinking on it. He's played video games. That's his career. He knows about video games. He knows about game design. He knows about map design.
He knows about map design. I don't think he knows about full game design. There's a difference.
Very slight. You still have to know how to code. You still have to know about collision. You still have to know about video games.
Yeah, you can know about video games, but not know how to make a video game. There's a complete difference between making a game and making a map. There's people that spend 8 years in school to do this shit.
Yeah, but here's why I'm hopeful. It's somebody that knows the current state of first-person shooters, which I have to agree with him. They're all fucking boring. There is nothing. Warzone is dying. People, anytime something gets posted about Warzone from, like, let's say Chaos Silencer, who was one of those COD tubers who started doing COD videos,
yeah,
everybody is saying Warzone sucks. I don't care about this. Hacker Zone, blah, blah, blah. You know, any list of things that people are not happy with Warzone about. Not even this whole fucking Activision Blizzard bullshit. Just Warzone.
Real quick. While you're still on this, Jay,
mm-hmm.
We pulled this article from Video Games Chronicle, and on the side, you know, on the side, they have other articles for you to read.
Mm-hmm.
Just as you were saying this, guess what I noticed?
What?
A former boss says people don't appreciate how much work goes into Call of Duty.
Yeah, that's from a month ago.
Yeah, I thought it was funny that Jay was, you know, talking about how boring it is. And just as he said that, I saw a former boss says people don't appreciate how much work goes into a COD game. And now Jay is like speechless with anger.
No, I do know how much work goes into a COD game. It's one of the most successful series of all time. However, how many of those people working on Warzone were doing cubicle crawls?
Yeah. No, I agree 100% with that. What's the same?
You know, we just had a shit show that is Activision Blizzard and all the things that they're doing now.
And with all the reports from fucking Dr. Disrespect, now there's a theory right there. He would have worked for them in that point of time as a map designer. Nah.
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden he got fired from Twitch. Did something come out in light to Twitch about his time at Activision? And they were like, no, we don't want anything to do with this dude.
I mean,
right there, Dr. Disrespect could blow a huge whistle on what went on there.
Good.
Unless he's
a COD partner. Why would you risk your career for that?
He's not partner anymore.
With Call of Duty?
Yeah, he still is.
He's not a Twitch partner, but he's partner with Call of Duty.
Oh, yep. He is?
Yeah.
Okay.
But doesn't that kind of come back into... the whole if the culture needs to change, the culture needs to change thing.
Yeah, you know what, dude? We talked about how the culture needs to change, and not even a week after these stories were coming out, Warzone was still averaging 80,000 to 90,000 concurrent viewers.
I know. It's ridiculous.
So almost nobody is helping with change the culture.
Nothing will change. They'll change a couple of head people, and then... You know, they'll give everybody some hush money, and
at this point, pretty much, why give a shit?
You know,
I'm not seeing the story pop up anywhere anymore.
That's how I'm feeling about it. Is at this point, everyone got their like fucking
successful talking about it. We did it, you know, all that shit. We took a stance on it, but not everybody else did.
Nobody else did, really.
Yeah, but we took a stance that we're still standing behind.
I think it, and I think it's fucking hilarious that the Pokemon Go community had more of a fight against Niantic
for, oh my God,
for reducing the for, you know, changing the zones, you know, the interaction.
Yeah,
zones.
And then pretty much making it sound like they wanted Niantic to hire fucking babysitters.
But hold on. So the community stood up more against that than they did the Activision Blizzard community stood up against them.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, there's still allegations, but they are damning on what they've been saying.
Yeah.
Because, like, yeah, the court of law is a bitch. The court of public appeal is even worse.
Right.
Then again, though, they're doing just fine, apparently, because let me pull up their stock.
Oh, I know. It's
Oh, is it back up?
No, it's actually still down.
It's down a little bit, but I mean, it hasn't moved that much over the past month.
Well, here's the thing. All stocks are down.
Yeah.
Like, I could tell you, I have some stock, and they haven't quite bounced back yet.
Basically, it's at its lowest point since August 12th right now. The lowest it's hit is 81.41. Its current is 83.85, and it's sitting at 2.44% up for the past 5 days.
And over the past
6 months,
over the past year, they're actually up $2 per share.
Well, okay, so last month, 1 month, they're 7.56 for the past month down. 6 months, it's 18.56 down from the past 6 months. Year to date, 6.67 down.
Oh, well, see, my on my stock app that I trade through, it says that on year to date they're actually up 2.34%.
Okay. Well, the 1 year it has says they're up 2.27% from last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
From like December 2020 till now.
Well, we've gotten pretty far from Dr. Disrespect now.
Welcome to the show, guys. That's what we do.
Man, I wish my parents would have bought stock in fucking Activision when I was born. Because guess what? 83 cents in 1993.
Yeah.
How much money I'd have.
Right?
Yeah, so that's like my mother. She bought some Disney stock when it was in the early 90s at like $8, $10 a share.
Does she still have it?
Yeah.
You're in the will, right?
But yeah, okay, so Rob, you think this is going to be a flop for him?
I do.
I'm leaning that way too, because it seems like he wants to hire a bunch of other big streamers, and they'll all kind of have their own, sounds like they're all going to have their kind of their own part to play in it. And we all know that the more hands you put on something, the higher the chance that it's just going to get fucking out of control.
Well, my reason I think it's going to flop is I just think that wanting to partner with these other mega influencers to push their games, I don't see.
So hold on. They want to do another company. They didn't quite do this, but they did partner with other streamers. Valorant.
Oh.
I mean, the streamers didn't have a hand in actually making the game. They just had a hand in help push the game.
Well, I get that. I mean, that's a completely different, you know, monster. But you know, on his website, you know, he says these gaming titles will either be incubated or developed or partnered, co-developed with existing indie game developers and then launched as mega titles. Like, I understand it's Dr. Disrespect. I get it. He's a big name. You're not that fucking big that you can push the whole fucking thing. Like, I honestly think that thinks he's bigger than what he is. That's how I feel.
Well, I mean, you could tell that when, you know, like Jay says, when he starts his streams with Blockbuster 92-93 champion.
93-94. also
93-94
it's
champion.
The gimmick, it's his thing, you know. That's why right. people like Dr. Disrespect, is because he has that old school wrestler energy. He literally is a one of them wrestling commentary shit. We're like, I'm gonna get you, Hulk Hogan. I'm gonna get you. That's essentially what he is in terms of video games. I mean, it's all a bit. When he's been off camera, or not off camera, but out of character, talking about like serious stuff, like his affair and all that. I mean, there's a reason why people still like him. I mean, it's. I don't know. I'm not like a big Dr. Disrespect fan where I'll catch like every fucking stream and I'm part of the Champions Club and shit like that.
I have literally never watched one of his streams.
But he's successful at it. He knows how to keep an audience. He knows how to maintain that audience. You know, any one of those guys, even the fucking influence streamers, I can't stand. They all have their bits of information on why people watch them.
Oh, yeah.
It's because they're pretty.
I just, like I said, pretty. I think he's trying to use his popularity as a streamer to push him being able to create video games. And
wouldn't you?
I think that's not going to work out, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but wouldn't you, if you could have influence and get together a team? Because, like, Dr. Disrespect ain't just one person. It's a whole fucking team behind him. All the graphics, all the artwork, all the music, shit like that. He's got a lot of fucking money from streaming.
Oh, I'm not saying he doesn't.
So, I mean, if Jeff Bezos can go to the moon, Dr. Disrespect can open up a successful gaming studio.
I don't see it being successful. I really don't. And
I see, sorry, Rob, go ahead.
No, you're good.
I see his intentions are probably good, saying he wants to get together with the big streamers and the big influencers to bring a more exciting shooter game.
Well, here's the thing. We don't know if that's what he's bringing. We don't know anything because he doesn't have any plans on what games they're going to make. And that's where I think that this is going to fall apart, because he wants to partner with mega influencers to bring the mega influencers' dreaming game title to life.
Yeah. And one of them, you know, some of them could want a first-person shooter.
How do you hire a studio staff to do that? Because yeah. I wouldn't play an Activision MMO, like in a JRPG, because they make first-person shooters. They don't make RPGs. Just like I wouldn't. Yeah. Jay, come on. I see the look.
Activision doesn't. Activision's made a shit ton of different games around a shit ton of different properties
from different studios, and that's what I'm saying. Blizzard,
yeah, they're a publisher. They don't actually make anything. They put it out there,
right? And that's what I'm saying, is they want to. Dr. Disrespect is doing a development studio. They're not a publisher, a development studio. But what kind of games is this development studio going to do?
I don't know. Are you going to like shit on any game studio that's like trying to come up with any type of like new IP? Because I'm tired of the Call of Duties. I'm tired
I'm
of
not.
Like the,
that's the not
same
what I'm saying at all. But what
year.
I'm saying is he's trying to do way too much of a fucking broad thing. Like, he wants to partner with every fucking mega influence out there, and he wants to make any fucking game that he can.
Was that actually said that he wants to do any type of thing or with any type of person?
He wants to work closely with mega influencers and bring their dream gaming titles.
But who are the influencers? We don't know.
And that's where it's going to fall.
It could be Z-Laner. It could be all these top tier Warzone players and Tim the Tap Man and all these people that have valid concerns and complaints with the way that gaming is going.
Okay, then say that. But just saying, oh, we're going to work with mega influencers to bring dream gaming titles. So what are you bringing? That's what I'm saying. That's why I think that this isn't going to work, is because it just seems like it's a vast thing where he just wants to get into it because he sees the money.
He's not fucking EA or Activision or Blizzard or any of these other companies, though. He's a single dude. Like, yeah,
he's a whole team. Isn't that what you were just saying? It's a whole team of people.
Well, it's a whole team for his stream.
I don't know.
I don't know how well this is going to work, because some people might want a third person. Some people might want a first person shooter. Some people might want a party game like Fall Guys. And, you know, how what indie studio wants to actually be pumping out double and triple A games?
Well, I just think that this would work a lot better if he came out and said, you know what? We're going to make first-person shooters the way they should be. Okay, that works great. We're going to work with mega influencers to make first-person shooters the way they should be. I think that's a way better business model than we're going to work with mega influencers to make their dreaming gaming titles. That's where I think the disconnect is.
I think he should have had a little bit more of an idea put together before he came out. Like, maybe...
I mean, he didn't come out and really say anything, though. This has all been based on a job posting on his website.
That he's looking for... This is everything that he said. This is directly from him. That, you know, that he's planning on doing that. That the titles are going to be incubated with or partnered with other developing and existing indie game developers. Okay. I don't know.
Wait for it. That's all we got.
Yeah.
Let's take the Sony approach and wait for it.
Stay tuned. So what do you guys think this will be? Let us know in the comments below. And yeah, we'll discuss it more on our socials. So join those. Links in the description. Moving on. This is one that I know Jay is excited about because it launches just before his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So coming up on the 18th, which is also the same day that this will launch, and by the time this comes out, that will already be live. Pokemon Presents is happening on Wednesday, August 18th at 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern, which is a weird time, to talk about Arceus. And they will also have more information on Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, both of which are going to be launching November 19th. And then Arceus will be launching January 28th.
Oh, it's the day after. Never mind.
Yeah, close enough.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited about this because Arceus is supposed to be set in, like, before the modernization of Pokemon. Like, when Pokemon is still running in the wild.
It's basically the very first Pokemon game.
Yes. So I'm excited for that.
Oh, man.
I am too. Hopefully it ain't a letdown.
Yeah, I mean, they've kept pretty tight on the info, so they definitely want people to tune in just to find out.
Because
we don't have much. What's coming.
Remember, Nintendo don't care. So they don't care what you're expecting. They're going to come out. And they're going to show 20 seconds of Arceus and then a couple minutes of Shining Pearl and Brilliant Diamond. And they're going to be like, all right, fuck you guys. We're out.
Yeah.
It's like, but we didn't get anything.
You got what you needed.
Right?
Yeah.
And I mean, we know that Diamond and Pearl are just remakes from the 2006 Diamond and Pearl.
It's just more remasters. That's all.
Oh, well, it's going to play like Sword and Shield, essentially.
Yeah. Well, is Diamond and Pearl going to?
Yeah. I mean, it's
the Diamond and Pearl adventure on a bigger scale. I mean, Diamond and Pearl was a DS game. So.
And Pokemon is saying that the original games have been faithfully reproduced. It does promise current gen upgrades and revitalization changes to the colors, graphics, and other unique surprises when venturing through the Sinnoh region.
I mean, they've done it before.
Well, I mean, look at Pokemon Go. Let's go.
Look at Fire Red. Fire Red and Leaf Green. And then you had Heart Gold and Soul Silver. And then you had Emerald's remake. Or not Emerald. Not Emerald's remake. The... Alpha Sapphire and Omega Ruby. I think that's what they were.
Yeah.
Might be Alpha Ruby, Omega Sapphire, or whatever. No, it's the original, what I said.
Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire.
Yeah. And then those had, I'm thinking of like the Emerald chapter where it had this weird like shit added to it at the tail end of the game, but they still added something. So 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Well, which game was it where you had to ascend a mountain. There was some ghost story of a legendary Pokemon.
That's a lot.
I was gonna say you just described the whole every game.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was one of the diamond. There was the ghost girl in the town, the story with her, and then there was some weird accessed mountaintop area where you had to fight a legendary, but I don't think you could capture it, and then it runs away. I don't know. I know that pretty much describes all of them, but there was a weird story behind it.
You might be thinking of Gold.
No, Gold was the dogs.
No, Lugia. Gold was Ho-Oh.
Yeah, and
Silver
was
Lugia.
You went to Mount Silver for him.
But
they didn't fly away. You actually fought them there and caught them.
See, I thought that there was a spot in Gold where
the dogs are where they run away. Is the ones that run away.
Oh, see, I thought
you go into the burnt tower. When you go in there, all three dogs are there, and that's how you activate them to go into the regular world.
Hmm.
And that was
no, it was a 3DS Pokemon game. I remember that much.
Well, if it was a 3DS, then it was Sun and Moon or Black and White.
Yeah, it might have been Black and White. I haven't really.
I think it was. I think Black. I think Black had the ghost girl in the one town.
I think they all have a ghost girl in one town.
Yeah, at one point, yeah.
You know, because in the original one, that's the story of the Cubone and.
Or what was that they were saying? The in the original Japanese, there was the one tone, the one music note tone in Lavender Town that was causing people to go crazy.
I think it was X and Y. Lumineous ghost girl. She had like a fletchling, and she like spun around in a circle.
Yeah, I never played X and Y.
Yeah, like I played the original Game Boy version once, and now that my daughter has the Switch, she let's go, and we got her Shield.
Well, let's go is just yellow. It's just a retelling of yellow. But yeah, no, I'm excited for it. I'm hoping, like Jay was saying, that it's not going to be a letdown.
Mm.
It looks and feels like it's going to play excellent. Maybe we'll get a demo for it. I can hope.
Right.
I mean, I wish they would have gave a little bit more info, but Nintendo keeps tight wrap on all that stuff. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, Jay, are you going to tune in and watch it?
If I can get time at work to do it. If we're slammed, I might have to keep waiting.
Rob,
I can get time to do it, but
that's a little early for me. If I'm up, I'll do it, but I'm not going to set an alarm to watch it. Bren,
If I get the notification, it's been crazy busy at work. If I get the notification and it's something I can listen to, then I'll listen to it. But I'm not going to be able to stop working to be able to watch it.
Yeah.
Such is the life of a mechanic.
Sucks.
And then last but not least, this is something that I know Bren is still waiting for console news, but we got to
listen. We have a release date. We have place cards for pre-orders. Pre-orders did go live for it.
Did you pre-order it yet?
Not yet.
Why
but
not?
This thing here that they're talking about, they were like, oh, they were hoping for a Steam exclusivity for it. No. No.
So
it's not happening.
The Elden Ring Steam page is live. Assassing. I don't even know what the fuck that word is. Assogging. What the fuck is that?
Assuing? That is a. Hold on.
Making less intense is what it means.
Mm.
Assuage. According to Google, it's pronounced assuage.
That's funny.
Too many words.
Excited because I have enough specs for it, except for, you know, free disk space.
Yeah, so
it's assuaging.
Yeah.
Assuaging. I just did the little Google pronunciation thing.
So, yeah, the Elden Ring Steam page is officially live, and it states that a planned release on the platform is slated for January 20th, 2022. At this time, the minimum requirements are an i5 or an AMD FX6300. And then the CPU speed, it doesn't actually say. You need 8 gigs of RAM. You need to have at least Windows 7. You got to have at least a GeForce 770 or Radeon R9. 280.
Yeah.
And you got to have 150 gigs free with at least 2 gigs of VRAM. Now, the recommended requirements are an i7.
That's a little bit of a jump up.
Yeah, an i7 or a Ryzen 5 1500, which is still a base Ryzen chip.
Yeah.
12 gigabytes of RAM, Windows 10, a 1660 or RX 480.
1060.
Oh, 1060, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I said. We're good. We got actually above requirements for that one. Well, I do. You're now a 30 series gamer, you fucking asshole.
So, yeah, we don't have too much other information, but we know that it's going to launch on PS5, X and S, PS4, One, and PC. And according to everything else, the release date for everything after is January 21st, 2022. So is PC going to get it a day early? Is that what this is?
Is it, Bryn? Is it?
Oh, that's fine. You can have it a day early.
Yeah, and I won't have that rumble haptic feedback.
I'm just gonna call Bryn. I'm just gonna video call Bryn and just set the phone there and just play it.
Didn't imagine playing with that haptic feedback where your triggers are shield, and as soon as you get hit, your trigger pops up on you, so you have to actually, you know, that shield up, or else your shield will bounce off.
It would be sweet.
I've noticed in Control that when you're running on like a marble floor or whatever, there's little hits in the controller for every step she takes.
Nice. So yeah, I mean, let us know if you guys are going to pick up Elden Ring and if you guys are excited for it in the comments below. Again, links and everything will be there.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish they would have done some kind of collector's edition.
Right.
Or limited edition.
Yeah. Well, it still might come.
Yeah. Depending on how pre-orders go. Plenty of time.
I mean, yeah, we still got four months almost to the date.
And they might not be putting collector's editions out till close to launch anyways to prevent people from scalping them.
Please. Thank God. I hope that's what it is.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you, man.
Okay, there's one last thing that I want to talk about, and I left it till the end because it's something that we all really like. So I don't know if you guys have been following Twitter. I don't know if you guys follow Hideo Kojima on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you guys know who Blue Box Game Studios is. So,
sounds familiar.
So Sony recently acquired Blue Box, and they've been putting out random like tweets. And then they put out a tweet that linked Hideo,
yeah,
and Konami, and it was basically a Silent Hill thing. And then they went through and they deleted it like 10 minutes after they posted it. And they actually deleted over 150 tweets that dated back to like 2012.
Well, here's the thing. They might have patched up what they were trying to do. You know, Konami now can just be like, hey, can we, Hideo, get Kojima games? You want to work together?
Well, this all came on the heels of the anniversary of PT.
Mm.
Oh, I do remember hearing about that popping up, but I didn't read the article and stuff.
Blue Box Game Studios has been talking about a title, a PS5 title, called Abandoned. And many believe that Abandoned is secretly a Kojima game and that it is the PT game. So I see this, and I've been trying to follow it, you know, I don't want to say closely, but trying to follow it and keep an eye on everything that's going on.
Yeah.
And it just, like, it was kind of weird that, you know, all this stuff happened right around, because Friday, I think? Thursday was the PT anniversary.
Oh, that's right. This was the game that had the app.
Yeah, that they're still developing this app that, you know, Sony's like, oh, yeah, hey, look, here's an app for, you know, a random third-party developer. And, you know, they posted a picture, you know, it was supposed to be for a band, and it was of a blurred background with an older guy that had an eye patch, you know, that really looked like Snake.
Snake!
And then there was blurred Snake? Text. There was blurred text in the background, which a lot of people were trying to unblur, and many believe it says, "Welcome to Silent Hill."
I mean, there's been talks about Silent Hill coming back anyways.
Yeah. And we were supposed to get a tech demo. Like, there was supposed to be a demo that came to the PS5, and it ended up just being this fucking video that they posted on Twitter, like, the day before. Like, there's all kinds of just weird shit that's been coming out. And it was like a 5 gigabyte update, or a 5 gigabyte thing to watch this tech demo.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. This is going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I mean, are they doing launching a game, or is this just them fucking around? There's a lot of a mind fuck going on here. So I
have the video pulled up from Twitter.
Yeah.
Now, in the app, there's 6 slots for trailers, and there's only 1 so far. Now, the character model that I see in the video,
yeah,
looks a lot like the, from what I remember, the father from the first Silent Hill game.
Okay.
Yeah, the tan jacket, jeans, and the brown shoes.
Does he have an eye patch?
Mm-hmm. No.
Does he have an eye patch? Is it Snake?
It says playable prologue coming soon.
So do we think it's going to be a Silent Hill or Kojima project?
Oh, I sure hope so.
Oh, me too. But let us know what
Village. Although Village was a great game, I don't like that they toned down the horror.
Yeah, it was more jump scares than anything.
They openly admitted to toning down the horror.
Yeah.
So.
But
all right, I'm done interrupting you.
Let us know what you guys think in the comments below or on our socials, and we can talk about this too. Because this is something that, you know, I know me and Brent are passionate about, with it being Hideo.
Right.
Big Hideo fans here. So that's all I got. If you guys got anything else.
No, not really.
Alrighty then. Well, again, hit that like, subscribe, share, follow button. Check out our socials that are linked in the descriptions. Come chat with us. Come play some games with us. You know, all that fun jazz. But as always, we'll catch you guys at the warp point.
Peace.
Peace.